Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to trip and fall into sin must happen, but how terrible it is for the person through whom they happen. It would be better for them to be thrown into a lake with a large stone hung around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to trip and fall into sin. Watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins, warn them to stop. If they change their hearts and lives, forgive them. Even if someone sins against you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times and says, 'I am changing my ways,' you must forgive that person." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Would any of you say to your servant who had just come in from the field after plowing or tending sheep, 'Come, sit down for dinner'? Wouldn't you say instead, 'Fix my dinner, put on the clothes of a table servant and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you can eat and drink.' You won't thank the servant because the servant did what you asked, will you? In the same way, when you have done everything required of you, you should say, 'We servants deserve no special praise. We have only done our duty.'" This is the word of God.
The other day, I was headed out of my house to go in the backyard and do some yard work, and I realized that what I wanted to do out there, the project I wanted to do, would require my glasses. I would need my glasses on. So I went to get them off my t-shirt. They're usually hanging on my t-shirt on a Saturday, you know, and they weren't there. So I went in the house to try and look for them. I looked over by my bedside table. They're not there. Walked into the kitchen. I looked up on the little ledge above the stove. Not there. I looked on the sill behind the sink. Not there. And then I went back in the bedroom. I looked, started really searching. I thought, where the heck are these glasses? I finally go outside to see if maybe I'd left them out there somewhere. And I found them. Guess where I found them? Right there. Skips right there on my face. Now, I know some of you guys in the balcony, you're like, "Well, why? What?" But some of us down here who are over 50, we've had these adventures. But, you know, I thought about it. I thought, what a silly figure I must have cut if anybody had been watching. This guy walking around the house, searching so intently for something that was so near. And I wonder if that's the way God looks at us sometimes. I wonder if that's the way that God sees us sometimes. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about how God has this vision. He has this vision for the way he wants us to see the world and to see each other. He has a vision for the way he wants us to share our lives with each other. And sometimes I know that we can get to where we doubt maybe if we can even understand what that vision is, if we can really understand what God wants from us. And we doubt whether we really have the power to carry out his will, whether we can really do it. We feel like what it takes is just so very far from us. Well, I think that Jesus would beg to differ. I think that Jesus would say, we have all the ability we need to be able to understand what God wants from us. We have all of the power, all the capacity we need to be able to carry out that will, the will to live his way. We have it all. And that power is very, very near to us because it is part of how we are made. As people of faith, as people who are built by God to believe. To believe. I think that that's what Jesus wanted to impress on his disciples in this reading that we heard today. And Jesus is talking to this huge crowd of disciples. Now, disciples can mean a lot of things as you read the Gospels. Most often it means this great crowd of people who have decided on one level or another to follow Jesus around and absorb his teachings. They're listening to his teachings. They're watching some of what he does. And the ones who are really turned on by this, they've decided to try and make what Jesus says part of their lives, to try and live the way that Jesus is sketching out how they ought to live. So they want to be taught by Jesus. They're teachable. And that's why they're called disciples. I mean, there could be scores of them in this group that Jesus is talking to. There could be hundreds. But there's a special group within that. The 12 disciples. The 12 disciples that Jesus handpicked, that Luke calls Jesus apostles. And those disciples, man, they were close to Jesus. They knew him well. They heard all of his teachings. They saw all of the miracles that he performed. They saw the great works. They ate with him. They slept with him. They had an opportunity to converse with him, to ask questions and have Jesus answer. They were close to Jesus, and man, they had faith in Jesus. They were the most faithful people. They followed him everywhere they went, and they believed in him. But it's on this day, as Jesus is speaking to them, as he is speaking to this crowd, it is those very disciples who have a little bit of a meltdown. They hear what Jesus is saying. They hear what he is teaching, and they start to get the shakes a little bit. And they cry out. They start crying out in sort of a panic, in sort of a despair. They cry out and they say a weird thing. They say, Jesus, increase my faith. Because of what Jesus is saying, they suddenly feel this need to have their faith plussed up. You ever heard that expression, plussed up? It's what the military often does to Congress. They ask for an appropriation to plus up a certain weapon system, something that they really need to face a threat. These disciples are asking Jesus, plus up our faith, because what they have heard has rattled them. They've heard in what Jesus has said an expectation of them that they just feel unprepared to meet. Plus up our faith, increase our faith. Now, I think I would have done the same thing. Because did you catch what Jesus had said to them? Did you catch what Jesus was teaching? Here's what he said. He said, listen, disciples, things that cause people to trip and to fall into sin must happen. That just means, look, we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where people have this tendency to want to rebel against God and to fall away from God and to make bad choices and do crazy things. So things that cause people to trip and to fall into sin will happen, but this is where it gets shaky, right? Jesus says, but how terrible it is for the person through whom they happen. It would be better for them to be thrown into a lake with a large stone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. Watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Now, Jesus isn't just talking about little kids. He says little ones, you know. He means everybody. Remember, Jesus is looking at things from a God's eye point of view, right? To God, we're all his children. We're all his children. So suddenly, the apostles, they're sitting there going, hey, wait a minute, man. I am on the hook for influencing someone away from God? I'm liable for anybody that I kind of tip away from God? Anyone that I might cause to fall into sin. And sin, man, that can mean a lot of things, right? I mean, sin. In the Greek, did you know the word sin means to miss the mark, to be wide of the mark, to miss the target? Yeah. Well, when the target is devotion to God, when the target is to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves, there's a lot of room in there to make errors, aren't there? There's a lot of room in there to, on purpose or inadvertently, sort of shake somebody else's belief in God, shake their faith. I mean, think about it. I mean, goodness, in our own lives. How many of you ever been cut off on the freeway by someone with a little fish thing on the back of their car? That was me. Sorry. Right? Oh, those Christians are supposed to be so nice. Right? When my kids were little, growing up in the 2000s, I was so stoked because they had a new thing called the Disney Channel. Everybody know what the Disney Channel is? Yeah, and they had all these awesome little programs on that really showed kind of good values, you know, good family values, stuff like that. And they had the Disney stars, and a lot of those Disney stars were just awesome. They came, you know, with these like bios of who they were, and there was one in particular. I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, she was famous, but she was also just like you. And she had a little ranch in Tennessee in real life, and she went to church, and she wore crosses, and you could go to your kids, look at her. She's so awesome. And yet, she's a Christian. Well, it turns out a lot of these folks, you know, as they get older, they've kind of go in different directions. And then you're so sad, right? Because all those young people that were looking to them as a model, they say, wow, what? What? Influencing people away from God. And I don't even blame those young people so much. I really don't. Because, you know, they grow up in a culture. They grow up in a culture that's pretty coarse. And especially in show business, things that you're kind of pushed and pressed to do. Things that they're told are important, right? But they didn't invent that culture. We did. They didn't create that culture. We did. People my age. And the people before us. Jesus says, watch yourself. Watch yourself. What kind of an example are you setting? So the disciples, you know, they're like going, oh my goodness, I gotta watch myself here. And then Jesus isn't even through. Isn't that the way it always is? Jesus is never quite through. He says, not only are we liable for the people that we cause to fall into sin, but Jesus says that followers of Jesus, people have already made up their mind to follow Jesus, we're supposed to be accountable to each other, to have the grace and the love to be able to speak to each other when we see each other drifting away, when we see each other going wrong. And we are supposed to have the faith to forgive each other over and over and over again as we all try to get it right. Here's what he says. Jesus says, if your brother or your sister sins, warn them to stop. If they change their hearts and lives, forgive them. Even if someone sins against you 7 times in one day and returns on the seventh time and says, I'm changing my ways, you must forgive them. And Jesus isn't using the number seven, because when we get to 8, we can say, well, you know, I'll see you tomorrow. We'll start tomorrow. Seven was a representative number. It's a symbol, symbolic number for completion, for perfection. It's like a circle. It like goes on and on. We're to forgive each other over and over and over again. So if we cause someone to slide away from their faith, if we grease those skids in any way, or if we fail to help each other stay on track, or if we fail to forgive each other as we try to stay on track, all of those things cause God great displeasure. So the apostles, they hear this man, they start crying out. They start crying out for help. They know that this is a big task. They know this, that they're crying out for help. But listen, here's what they do not cry for. They do not cry for more discipline, even though discipline is important. They don't cry out for willpower, even though willpower is important. They don't cry out for more education, even though education is important. What do they cry out for? Faith. They cry out for faith. Because they know that faith is power. Faith is power. And they know this because they hang out with Jesus. They've seen Jesus do amazing things and credit it to faith. They've seen him heal people and say it was faith that made you well. Seen him talk to people who are impoverished materially and impoverished in their souls, people who are outcast, who feel they have nowhere to go, and to tell them that through faith they will find provision. They've heard Jesus talk about eternal life, and in the same breath, talk about faith. They know that to Jesus, faith is power. It's the power to envision. It's the power to do. It's the power to move things. It's the power to create. It's the power to live. And it's a power we all possess within us. Every single one of us, it's built into us because we are built by God to believe. And we know this. We know this just in regular life. You don't have to be a Christian to know this. Of all the creatures on earth, we are the only creatures who can envision something and see it through and make it a reality, right? That's built into us by God, our Creator. That's built in. He built us to believe. A New Testament writer would later write, they would say this great thing, faith is the reality of what we hope for. It's the substance of what we don't yet see. It's the substance of what we don't yet see. Faith. 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 So they're crying out for faith, man, because they know that that's where the power is. Crying out for Jesus to give them more faith to meet this high expectation that God has for them and for each other. You can imagine how these guys must have felt, right? Sitting there, they've heard this for the first time, kind of. Maybe they've heard something like it, but man, this is like really right out there, and they've heard this for the first time. This has got to just rattle them. They're not lucky like us. You know, we've had this idea around for 2,000 years for us to chew over. Of course, you know, having an idea around for 2,000 years doesn't mean we've ever really thought about it very much. But think about it. What does that mean for us? This is heavy stuff for us. This is good stuff for us. Man, you want a challenge. You want something to do. You say, oh, my faith, it doesn't really relate to my life. Oh, come on. Think about what it means today. Think about what it means today as we baptize these two beautiful children. Right? and the pledges we made to them, the pledges we made to their family, to help them live in Christian faith and life. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. Oh God, increase my faith. Yeah. We surround Justin and Elizabeth with a community of love and forgiveness. Oh. Increase my faith. We will pray for them. Pray for them. That they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Doesn't it make you want to cry out for more faith? Doesn't that just make you want to maybe cry out for more faith? As Christ followers, we're called to influence people for God. Influence people towards God. And that doesn't mean walking around all the time spouting scripture. It doesn't mean, it certainly doesn't mean pointing a finger of judgment at other people. I mean, that is like the worst thing that we can do. That's where our ugliness really comes out. That's where we become more and more like those people that Jesus so severely condemned, right? The hypocrites who would point a finger of judgment at other people and never look at their own behavior or at their own selves and at their own pride. No. We are called to influence people towards God by being the people of God. By loving God, by loving others. By being a sign that the kingdom is in this world. By the way we speak, by the way we do business, by the way we parent, by the way we befriend people. Oh. To honor God by honoring each other. To be faithful to God by being true to each other. We are called to push people, to influence people towards God by being the people of God. Whatever that looks like in your life, whatever that looks like in your place, in your little orbit. And then to each other, we are called to open ourselves up to each other, to trust each other enough, to listen to each other when it comes in love and grace to those warnings that we may be drifting, where we might be going a little bit wrong, to help each other stay right, and then to forgive each other as over and over and over again we try and get it right. Take care of each other. To love each other. Oh, it makes you want to cry out, doesn't it? It makes you just want to cry out. Just like it made those apostles want to cry out. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. Give me more faith so I can do this thing. But listen, when they asked that of Jesus, he didn't say, oh yeah, I forgot, I didn't give you enough. Here, ding, there you go. There's more faith for you. He didn't do that. He told them a story. He told them a story about a servant. A servant who was out in his field, and he was doing every single thing that he knew he needed to do for the master out in that field. Everything he needed to do. He had the ability. He had the capacity to do it. He had it down. It was in him to do it. But then he came in the house, and guess what? The master had more for him to do. More for him to do. And you know what he did? He did it. He had the ability. He had the capacity. He had it in him to do what the master needed him to do because it was built in him. He was a servant. He was a servant. It's built in him. Oh, yeah. The apostles asked for more faith, and Jesus says, you know what? You have all the faith you need. You have all the faith you need. You have enough faith that if you use it well, if you use it in truth, you could put a tree into the sea. You can do anything that you need to do in my name because I've given you enough faith. The same goes for me and for you. Listen. Our inability to understand what God wants from us and our inability to have the capacity to do what God wants from us, it has nothing to do. It is never about God's disinclination to give us faith. It is always about our inclination to open up our arms wide and drink it in. Drink it in. All the measure that he has given us, the full measure. He's given us the faith to every day ask, God, in my place where I am, what do you want me to do? The faith to examine ourselves and see where we are choosing to do something different. And the faith to change. The faith to change. He's given us the faith, all the faith we need to understand, all the faith we need to vision, to move, to do, to create, to live as his people who are built to believe. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, you've given us our lives. You've given us our power. You've given us grace to be forgiven and to forgive. Lord, help us use the faith that you've given us to influence people towards you. Lord, let us be your people. Using that measure of faith that you've given us. Let your Holy Spirit rest in us now. And let your Holy Spirit now rise up within our hearts and bring to our minds that which we must do. And Holy Spirit, empower us to do it. We ask this in your name. Amen.